Chapter 39. The group had barely cleared the residential area before their collective energy started to flag again, due in no small part to the wearing effect of Halliday's constant weeping. Hicks couldn't understand how she still had enough moisture in her body for tears. He managed to get them all the way to the mainframe service shaft before letting them rest again, not because he'd planned to, but because they'd all just sat down spontaneously. Martinez signaled he should go along with it, but he had almost told them to get moving. Letting the group call the shots was risky. If they were going to survive, he had to maintain his authority. Then his gaze fell on Rossetti, sitting a few meters away from the rest of the group, holding tight to his pulse rifle and looking lost, out of his depth, out of options, and probably almost out of painkillers, and felt a sudden intense rush of compassion for him. Rossetti had been a real Marine once, but he'd been so busy maintaining his hothouse authority that he'd lost the real thing. Hicks set his flexi for 3 minutes and sat down beside Spence.
"We gotta climb all the way up, don't we?"
she sighed, looking up at the ladders and platforms, some with catwalks strung between them. At this distance, they looked like strings.
"Nah."
Jackson leaned forward from where she was sitting on Spence's other side so she could address Hicks as well. "Only up to the first platform above the ladder over there," she pointed at the one nearest Rossetti. "It's more than 2 standard levels, but it's not too bad." Spence sighed again.
"I should be relieved about that, right?"
Jackson laughed. "The only way I'd be relieved is if I heard an announcement that all this was a test of the emergency alien attack system and it's finished. And even though we flunked so bad, we got to go to night school for 3 years, we get to go home anyway. That's all I want to hear right now."
"And that's all I want to say," Hicks replied. "But I can't."
Raising his voice, he added, 30-second warning, people, so get ready. Jackson, you lead." He turned to Martinez. "You're behind her, then everybody else, and me on our 6. There were a few groans, but they all nodded, except for Halliday, who was weeping into the rag doll with her eyes closed. Hicks looked around at them and then at the ladder and the platform Jackson had pointed to, thinking it might take a goddamn miracle just to get them that far. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw Rossetti sneak 2 more pills and swallow them dry. They'd want another rest after the climb, Hicks knew, and he would give it to them. But after that, he had to make them haul serious ass. He hadn't told any of them when Bishop was setting the station to blow, not even Martinez. As tough and steady as she was, he wasn't sure how she'd handle knowing how much time they had, or rather how little, and he needed her too much to risk her having a breakdown. But the good news was, this was his last CO gig, Hicks reminded himself, giving Abelera immediately above him a nudge to climb faster. After this, he could go all outlaw all the time.
"Corporal Hicks, sir,"
Abelera looked down at him.
"Jackson and Martinez are on the platform."
"Copy that."
Hicks leaned to one side to see how the rest of them were doing and bumped against a long, thick loop of cable dangling beside him. Holding onto it, Hicks leaned a bit farther out for a better view and saw Jackson open the hatch. Martinez motioned her to one side so she could go through first. Jackson went to help Spence with Halliday. They had just pulled her up when the alien came through the hatch. Martinez's pulse rifle skidded across the platform. Still holding on to Halliday, Spence grabbed for it with her free hand. Her fingertips brushed the metal stock before it fell away into the shadows. Confused, she turned to ask Jackson what the fuck, and a warm, salty liquid hit her in the face like a slap. Then the loud, furious hissing registered on her, and she realized what kind of trouble they were in. Spence wiped Martinez's blood out of her eyes and saw the alien holding the Marine in its talons. It had torn off one arm and had the other between its steely teeth. She tried to blink away the blood dripping into her eyes and could only see in 1-second snapshots. Blink, Jackson lying face down in front of the hatch. Blink, Halliday on the platform in the fetal position, shuddering and sobbing. Blink, Tatsumi on the ladder with only his head poking through, yelling for everyone to go back down. Blink, Hicks shinnying up a cable hanging beside the platform, grabbing the platform's edge. Blink, the hissing alien tossing away the last pieces of Martinez. Blink, viscous strings of saliva mixed with blood dripping on Halliday. Blink, a thick spool of cable left hanging on a post in front of a catwalk, then the spool in her hands. Blink. The alien bending over Halliday, jaws open. Blink. Spence screamed and hurled the spool of cable at the creature with all her strength. Blink. the spool bouncing off the side of its ugly, malformed head, blink, the alien coming toward her, talons raised, blink, her hand on the railing of a catwalk that stretched all the way across the shaft to an open doorway on the other side, blink, the narrow catwalk bouncing and swaying under her and the alien screaming, screaming, screaming behind her.
I really didn't think this through.
Spence hadn't been sure she could fit into the small recess at the base of the mainframe, but the fucking alien had made it across the catwalk much too quickly, which had pushed her past desperate measures into the realm of last resorts. And now here she was, barely able to breathe. But at least she now knew for a fact that she could wrap one leg around her own neck, and if she didn't move soon, she'd be stuck in that position for the rest of her life, which wouldn't be very long, maybe not even long enough for Martinez's blood to finish drying on her face. She'd still be smelling it when she died. Shut up, she ordered herself. Shifting slightly, she tried to peek out from her hiding place, but her head was at an angle that made it impossible to see anything. She had fled across the swinging, swaying catwalk to find herself in a place where the only light came from glowing, multicolored cables twisted or braided into discrete bundles as thick as trees and secured with heavy-duty black bands. Everyone called this area the Enchanted Techno Forest. It certainly was pretty, but the screaming alien spoiled the effect. Practically on cue, the creature screamed again. Damn it, did this fucking species do anything other than kill, scream, hiss, and drool? Oh yeah, they also snapped their extensible teeth. Take away that relentless drive to kill, and what were they? The most boring species in existence. Paramecia were more interesting. Tully was right. The goddamnedest shit ran through your mind at the weirdest moments. Tears threatened at the thought of him, but she held them in. She could cry after she dealt with her failure to consider the consequences of bouncing a spool of cable off an alien's head. Spence squirmed out of the cubbyhole, mostly to keep herself distracted with the physical discomfort. If she fell apart now, she was dead, for sure. Either the aliens would get her, or she'd go out with a bang when the fusion package blew. Although she had seriously considered finding a place to hide out till the endgame, there were worse ways to die than instantly in a big, painless blast. Much worse. In the space of a few days, the universe had gone from indifferent and uncaring to a killing ground for living murder machines, and humans had only themselves to blame for that. Because only humans could be so stupid and arrogant as to believe they could take control of creatures like that. Now the writing was on the wall, and it said, "Here lies humanity, too stupid and arrogant to live." Spence flexed her arms and legs, then got to her feet and looked around, trying to figure out where the nearest exit might be, or at least where she was relative to the door she had come in through. She'd seen the layout for this area, but she didn't have Tully's eidetic memory or his sense of direction, or his quick-witted inventiveness. And then again, Tully's intellectual gifts hadn't been enough to save him. He'd been the first to die here, leaving her all alone with the only questions of existence that mattered now. She didn't know much about the aliens, but no one did. What she did know, the thing chasing her was big, vicious, and hell-bent on killing her. It had no eyes, but whatever it had instead worked just fine in the dark. Maybe the creatures had the same senses as humans, but they were combined and amped up into one big mega-sense. Without making a sound, she sidled over to the nearest glowing cable tree and listened for any noises that might tell her where the creature was. All she could hear, however, was a mix of ventilation and a hum pitched so low that she wasn't sure it was real. Either way, she couldn't hang around here wondering. Taking a deep breath, Spence peered around the tree trunk of cables just as the alien melted out of the semi-dark, not 5 meters in front of her, multicolored light glinting off its teeth as it screamed. She turned and ran, weaving in and out among the cable trees, hoping to slow the monster down. But it seemed to have learned her movements well enough to anticipate them almost as quickly as she could make them. It had mastered both the art and science of hunting prey, any prey, all prey, and she wasn't much of a challenge, especially after spending too much time twisted up like a pretzel in a space barely bigger than a word balloon in one of Tully's comic books. Graphic novel, Spence. I can't believe you still don't know the difference. In spite of everything, she felt tears threaten again. A moment later, something solid and fixed slammed against her entire body from head to foot, knocking the urge to cry right out of her. Falling backwards, she reached out blindly and felt her right hand close on a rounded metal tube. She clenched her teeth and her fist both and jerked to a stop before she hit the deck. Somehow she got her other hand on the thing and pulled herself upright. It was a ladder. Another goddamn ladder. Her vision hadn't cleared, but she practically flew up the rungs, hoping it would take her to a way out, back to the maintenance shaft, or into a tunnel or an air duct too small for a screaming, raging alien. At the top of the ladder, there was a walkway. Not a catwalk and no guardrail, but solid, leading to a doorway and into some place filled with glowing blue light. Shaking off her daze, she dashed through it. No door to slam. She'd have to keep running. This time she managed to stop before hitting the wall. Spence ran her hands all over it in a frantic search for anything that might have been a hidden latch for an emergency exit. Finding nothing, she moved to the wall on her right, shoving a flimsy cot aside to get at the baseboard before she stood on the cot to reach the ceiling. It, too, was solid. No ceiling panels, no crawl space, no air ducts, and there was nothing on the floor except what had been a year's worth of empty takeout boxes, mostly for pizza. All the while, she could hear the inhuman screams growing louder as the alien got closer. It wouldn't be long before it picked up on her again. Her scent, or her heartbeat, or the volume of air displaced by her movements, or Martinez's blood on her face. She had made it easy for the thing by running into a dead end. Here, in this lovely break room where AI maintenance engineers had taken catnaps and gossiped over lunch, the creature would have the queen of failing to think things through for its lunch. She heard talons scraping on the metal and turned to see it stepping from the ladder onto the walkway. Screaming in furious triumph, the monster stalked toward her, claws up and ready, the sharp point of its raised tail aimed at her chest. There was no hurry now. It knew she was trapped. Desperate, she began rummaging through the food containers on the floor again, searching for something, anything that might make even a half-assed weapon. If it was going to kill her, maybe she should give it something to remember her by. Her hands landed on a metal box, and she jumped, startled. "Please don't be some cartoon character lunchbox," she prayed as she pulled it out of the pile of containers. The words on the top of the box glowed in bright purple and yellow. Colonial Trans AP-49 flare signal, oxy-atmospheric, 20mm. Ripping the box open, she yanked the flare gun out of its foam mold, whirled to face the alien. It sprang at her and she fired. The world disappeared in a blinding flash of light. For a couple of seconds, she thought the fusion package had blown at the exact same moment, but then her vision started to clear, letting her see the alien clutching either side of the doorway so hard cracks had appeared in the wall. There was a nova in its guts, growing brighter by the second, the color lightening from orange to yellow. Its screams only registered on Spence when they stopped, and it crossed her mind that she would be happy never hearing that sound for the rest of her life. Or what was left of it. Blink. The edges of the doorway broke off completely. Blink. The creature staggered backward, jaws opening and closing as it tried to scream and only produced a frying sound. Blink. It fell heavily onto its back, limbs flailing. Blink. It rolled off the walkway and hit the deck below. Blink. Spence collapsed amid the food containers on the floor, shaking with reaction. Had she really just done that? Had she really? Just done that? She looked down and saw the flare gun in her trembling hand. Yes, she had, really, she thought, hugging it to herself. Just done that. Really. Okay, that happened, she said aloud, just to see if she could speak. That really fucking happened. To me. No, I happened to it. A wave of intense emotion swept through her as she looked down at the gun again. And before she realized what she was doing, she held it up and kissed it. Immediately, her face was hot with embarrassment, despite there being no one else to see. Yeah, that just happened too, she told the flare gun. But I won't tell if you won't. Still holding it tightly, she pulled the metal box onto her lap to see what else it contained. Finding the flare gun here had to be the most improbable stroke of good luck she'd ever had in her young life. Flare guns didn't go with mainframes, but all engineers loved playing practical jokes. Especially on new hires. Whatever this crew had planned must have been a doozy. Crazy damned engineer pranksters had saved her life. The thought made Spence tremble even more. If she lived through this, she was going to kiss the first engineer she met, male, female, or other, right on the mouth.
Spence! Yo, Spence, you still alive?
Hicks's voice, distant but clear, snapped her back into focus. There was one more charge in the metal case. She reloaded the gun, clipped it to a lanyard, and hung it around her neck before going out onto the walkway, marveling that the alien hadn't bled there. Down below, however, the alien was sinking into the hole its acid blood was eating into the deck. The flare in its guts had died, but it had burned long enough. Hicks called her name again, closer now.
Yeah, I'm here,
Spence said, laughing a little. She decided to try sliding down the ladder instead of climbing, and was surprised when she landed without falling. Apparently, this was her day. She wasn't even shaking now, more like vibrating with electric triumph. Score? Spence 1, alien, big fat 0.
Don't worry about the alien, she called to Hicks. It's dead. I killed that bitch. I did. Me.
Silhouettes appeared among the glowing cable trees and turned into Hicks and Talisa and Kosi. They had come to save her from the alien, and instead she had saved them before they even knew it.
Really? I killed that fucker. It's dead, and I did it.
She went on telling them about it as they led her to the hatch and brought her back across the catwalk. Talisa actually walked sideways, watching her carefully while Hicks kept a tight hold on the back of her shirt. Spence didn't mind. Had the catwalk swayed and swung this much when she had run across it before with the alien chasing her? She couldn't remember now, and for some reason that made her laugh.
I'm sorry,
she said to Talisa, then glanced over her shoulder at Hicks, who told her to look straight ahead.
You guys must think I'm Nutsarama. I don't know why I'm laughing.
It's reaction, Hicks said, sounding brisk and businesslike. Deep, slow breaths, and keep looking straight ahead.
Breathing deeply reduced her giddiness and quelled the urge to laugh. It also made her feel shaky again, and the motion of the catwalk didn't help. It seemed to take forever to reach the platform where the group waited for her in a huddle, their faces pinched and unhappy. They'd probably feel better when she told them how she'd killed the alien with the flare gun hanging around her neck. But before she could say anything at all, Jackson was talking, and Spence was so relieved the chief of operations wasn't dead after all that she was happy to wait till the woman had finished.
Okay, we're heading up to the next level,
Jackson told everyone, and Spence was also relieved to see she had shut off the damned light pen so it wasn't making trails in the air every time she moved.
It's not ideal, but it actually puts us closer to the lifeboat bay, so come on, get climbing, guys, right now.
Okay, Chief, copy that loud and clear, Spence said with a show of enthusiasm as she looked around for Halliday.
I just need a little help with...
She cut off. The ragdoll lay on the platform where Halliday had been.
No! No! God damn it, no!
She shouted, looking from the group to the ladders and catwalks and cables and finally to Hicks.
I killed that fucker! I killed it!
Hicks moved her back from the edge of the platform, but she lunged for the ragdoll. The feel of cold, thick slime made her cry out in horror, and she hurled it away as hard as she could. Talisa took hold of her arm and, with surprising strength, forced it straight while Hicks produced an aerosol can from a medikit. He sprayed her arm from elbow to shoulder with something that smelled medicinally minty over and over until the can was empty. Tossing it over his shoulder, he turned to the group.
Okay, guys. You heard the chief. Get climbing.
Rossetti was already 10 feet up and moving as fast as he could. Jackson blew out a contemptuous breath.
Look on the bright side, she said to Hicks. If anything's up there, it eats him first.
Hicks motioned for Spence to follow Jackson, and she obeyed, focusing her attention on the physical task and nothing else. She was no longer all souped up with energy, but she wasn't crashing yet. The urge to cry over Halliday had subsided, though it wasn't completely gone. It was more like her mind had set it aside for later consideration. For now, she was steady, stable, good old self-preservation. It overrode even the craziest, most fucked up shit. And that was all it was, Spence told herself. It was only self-preservation, not selfish relief, that she no longer had to hold Halliday up while she whimpered and sniveled. And more than anything, she absolutely wasn't furious at Halliday for getting herself killed so that all the effort Spence had put into keeping her alive, all the physical, mental, and emotional strain, had been for nothing. Nope, nothing like that. Later, when this was over, she'd have time to get her head together, come to terms with everything, but that was later. Much later. Right now, she had to climb this ladder. Martinez's blood was dry on her face. Some of it cracked and fell away in little flakes. Some of it stayed under her nails when she scratched it off.